Today's Torah portion is Genesis 28, 10 through 32, 3, and I want to talk a little bit about some of it. I want to talk about where it says that Jacob went from Beersheba and went towards a place called Haran. Haran was where Laban was. And you know, Jacob had to go there to get away from Esau and find his wife and all that stuff. So Rashi explains to us that this verse repeats itself. And this was already told to us five verses ago. When the Torah repeats itself, it usually emphasizes a point, does it not? And a lesson may be learned from that. So let's see if we can learn something. Okay, there's two reasons for the name of Beersheba according to the Torah. Because it was the place of the oath when Abraham made a covenant with Abimelech. Some of you say Abimelech, but that's not very Hebraic. Abimelech. Because of the seventh well dug after Israel's peace treaty with Abimelech. Both of these reasons have something in common. They both indicate a sign of shalom or peace for Israel. On the other hand, the name Haran indicates the exact opposite. As Rashi points out in an earlier reading in Genesis 11:32, Haran is as the phrase of Haran Af, which means fierce anger or strife. If we understand this, when we review that verse, we see that Jacob went from a place called peace to a place called strife. Would life not be easier if Hashem would preserve us within our tents of Torah? Just leave us here, you know? This is the place, let's just stay. Peace, let's just have shalom. Hallelujah. Rather than presenting us with so many countless obstacles, we call that strife, don't we not? Oh, man. Jacob spent 14 years, according to Jewish tradition, in the tents of Eber and Shem. And in those years, he was learning the way of Hashem. He had no burdens. This holy tent and these holy surroundings of Jacob within Beersheba were the perfect surroundings for founding the people of Israel. But in order for him to properly build up the house of Israel, which was composed of his 12 sons, who became the 12 tribes of Israel, he had to leave this security and come to Haran, a place where Hashem's presence was concealed. This seems to be a big story in the Torah. Abraham had to leave place of Ur also, right, and go to a place where there was strife and places. And so did the children of Israel. Where were they? They were in a land called Egypt, and everything was good there. I mean, they were working as slaves and dogs, but, you know, they got three squares in a bunk, so maybe life was a little peaceful for them. But God said, no, you're going to leave, and you're going to go out into a wilderness where there's going to be strife, and there'll be tough things. God never tells us to go to peaceful places. You know, everybody thinks that when they die, they're going to heaven, and they're going to play harps and eat pork chops and just go, oh, happy days. God doesn't say that in the Bible. He says, go forth. What did he tell Abraham? Go forth. What did he tell Jacob? Go forth. What did he tell B'nai Yisrael? Go forth and do what he says. That's what God wants. The very word for world in Hebrew is olam. And it is an idiom of the word helem, which means concealment. In Haran, it was very easy to sin, and it was very difficult to be virtuous. But Jacob was steadfast while he was exposed to the tempest. You know, redemption is all about going forth. Redemption is not about going up. Redemption is about going forth. He doesn't care about the end. God doesn't care about the end. He knows the end. He's already worked it out for us. You read the end of the book. It's in the next to the last book. It's called Revelation. Last book is Baps. And he wants to see the journey that you take. God wants to see your journey, and that means going to a place that's not always very comfortable. If you want to be fat, dumb, and happy and comfortable, just stay where you are. You don't have to go anywhere. You're already comfortable. But God doesn't want to do that. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to be on edge. Yeah. Like I said, it was very easy to sin and very difficult to be virtuous. And that's the way it is in our world, isn't it? But Jacob was steadfast while exposed to the tempest, and it was for this very reason, his remaining steadfast in his ways, that Jacob was able to build the house of Israel. His grandfather Abraham had Isaac, but also he had Ishmael. His father Isaac had Jacob himself, but he also had his brother Esau. But because of Jacob's condition, he was worthy to have 12 perfect children. Hallelujah. With no spiritual defections. This teaches us that when we overcome temptation and remain steadfast in our service, it is possible to build a perfect believer's house. Amen. Which is both radiant and warm. Isn't that what you'd like to have? Yes. When Jacob reached Haran, the Torah says, in Hebrew, Vayifga. This word means, and he reached the place. He got there. He showed up. Made it. However, the choice of word here is quite special because this word can also mean he prayed. Now, it would seem that when a man arrives in a new place, he should first accommodate, find a wife, learn the language, you know, find where the drugstore is, grocery store. Adapt to the customs, etc., you know. What do these Nebraskans do? I bought myself a bunch of ends to put on my house, you know. But Jacob put aside all of these norms, and he only occupied himself with the same as before, and that was Avodah Hashem, the work of Hashem, right? He prayed. From this we learn that when we arrive in a new place, we should not put aside our old self, our Torah, in order to adapt to the new land and become like the people there. You are not like the people outside this building. Don't become like them. Don't change. I like you the way you are. I like you a lot better if you do change in here, but maybe a little more. Maybe if some more of you raised your hands instead of 10%, I'd be excited. More people are listening to me. We should not try and see how Torah can fit into our new lifestyle. Rather, we should remember that when we arrive, we must also worship there. Therefore, we must remain as we are. And we must apply our understanding in all places that we find ourselves. This new style must adapt to our Torah, which is God's Torah. Okay? Don't create a new Torah for the new place. When Jacob was traveling to Haran, he took one of the stones of that place and put them for his head. He took of the stones. To this, Rashi says, he did so in order to protect himself from the wild beasts. You know, there was wild beasts in Israel in them days, you know? Now there's wild beasts in Chicago and Omaha. But in them days, they were in Israel. They were four-legged. Now they're two-legged. Jacob knew that where he was, there were wild beasts. Therefore, he should be made sure to collect stones from the field. But let's think about this a little bit. If he knew that there were beasts there, why did he only worry about protecting his head? What about his body? There is a verse in Psalms that will help us understand this. You didn't know I had all that knowledge, did you? The verse is in Psalm 28, verse 2. When you eat the toil of your hands, you will be happy, and it shall be well with you. Earning a livelihood can be done in two different ways. One, you can earn a livelihood by the toil of your hands. In other words, by allowing your hands to do what they know how to do. Automatically, so to speak. by second nature, and, or number two, by the toil of your head. That is, one is completely involved in earning a livelihood, even with his head. Total involvement and consumption. Therefore, the Torah tells us, when you eat the toil of your hands, leaving the head in its proper place within Torah, then you will be happy and it shall be well with you. Spiritually as well as materially, one cannot scheme and plot, for as the scriptures say, the wise have no bread. And there are many sources which explain how they make matters worse and only complicate things even more while obscuring the simple obvious. Of course, here we are not speaking about someone who needs his mind to work, but rather we are speaking about the person who cannot function without the thought of his labor to occupy him. Such a person could work 24 hours a day and it simply would not affect his sustenance. Heaven manages power and wealth. Do you know that? If one is destined to receive, then one must simply allow you oneself to become the vessel which is capable of receiving. If one does not accomplish this, then his sustenance will not manifest into material matter, and that which was allotted him will remain spiritual in waiting for a material outlet. Therefore, if a man puts aside the holy for the sake of achievement within the mundane, it will not matter. He cannot pull down more than he's already been allotted to him for that year. When Jacob went to Haran, he knew exactly where he was going. He knew for whom he would have to labor physically, and he knew that there would be wild beasts along the way. He therefore took the stones and placed them around his head to indicate that nothing and no one is to affect his head. The head must always be protected. The troubles of the way, or the works of Laban, that is, the preparations and actual work for a livelihood, these he would toil for with the hands only. This teaches us to be certain that the head is always protected when the head is as it should be, and one's hands and feet too will be as they should be. A Jewish book, the Shulchan Aruch, says about this, the left hand thrusts aside while the right hand draws near, and the feet will speed towards mitzvot, good deeds. But when Jacob protected his head, he did so with stones, not with intellect, for not with his emotion, but he chose to do so with inorganic matter. Devoid of vitality and devoid of vegetative capacity, what does this teach us? When one is worried about the temptations or the struggles which may interfere with one's service, he must take upon himself the yoke of heaven, as signified by the stones. The intellect and the emotions are insufficient. One must truly regard oneself like an inorganic stone. Let my soul be unto all as the dust. Inorganic matter, guess what? It cannot move itself. It needs someone to carry it from one place to another. And this is the way that each person must regard himself, like inorganic matter. A simple servant. That's what you are. You are a simple servant carried by Hashem from place to place. The reward for this, as we see near the end of this reading, is that this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Hashem's house. Not silver, not gold, but simple stones become Hashem's house. Isn't that awesome? How did this happen? By Jacob's virtue of binding himself to Hashem. By binding himself to the means of a vow. The very concept of the vow is to be compelled by the vow to do something which normally one would not do by virtue of will, intellect, or emotions alone. This was how Jacob attained the greatest heights, to the point that even the ordinary things in life became a house of Hashem. Therefore, we learn that not only the siddur and the mezuzah that you see in houses are holy, but even the cutlery, the forks, the knives, the spoons of the house must be holy. Everything must be holy. How is this achieved? By virtue of that first act mentioned, vayifka. He prayed when he arrived. When we arrive into any situation or into any place or a handle, any object, we must always be a constant. Always in the same frame of mind. Always in the same state of mind. The same values, the same Torah values must be present in every situation. Rather than fluctuate between our surroundings, struggling with them in conflict, all good has already been allotted to us, but it is up to us to pull it through into material manifestation. And this can only be done by a proper receiving vessel. Are you a proper receiving vessel? One which is open to receive that which lies outside of self, and one which has no holes in it. Because we are a new creation in Mashiach, we must embody Yeshua in all that we are, in all that we do. Everything, our whole lives have to be turned over to Him. We cannot allow changing circumstances to dictate how we conduct ourselves. We can't be one thing here and one thing over there and another thing out there. We got to be the same everywhere. And that's hard. I believe me. I get out in traffic and I'm not the same person you see up here. And that's because I'm trying to do my schedule. That schedule is what kills me. I've got to combat that schedule thing because my mind says it's 2 minutes after I should be over there, not here. And that Iowa plate just cut me off. And I'm going at his speed. And I can't live that way. And it's just frustrating. Believe me, I struggle with that all the time. That's my greatest unachievement, is putting Yeshua into my driver's seat. I got to do that, and that's hard for me. Just because we move from here to there doesn't mean we compromise the way we are. As Yeshua's representatives here on earth, we are His Talmudim, His disciples. And as such, we live, we breathe, and we act exactly as He did. This is hard, but we must put aside our former selves. Get Him out of the driver's seat, in my case, and become like Him. Put Him. Let Yeshua do the drive. Isn't there a commercial that's let us do the driving for you or something? Let Yeshua. All the rabbis in ancient Israel, they had their Talmudim. They had their students who lived, breathed. They lived in their houses. They slept on their floors. They ate their crumbs off the kitchen floor. I don't expect you to come over to my house. My wife would have a fit, but you're not going to do that, by the way. But in ancient Israel, they did do that. They had their Talmudim, and they lived and embodied what their rabbis were. They, in effect, cloned themselves into being a remake of the rabbi, whatever his name was, Gamliel, Hillel, so-and-so, whatever rabbi it was, Yeshua. We must do the same with Yeshua. He is our rabbi. He is our leader. He is our teacher. Not me. I'm just up here. I don't know what I'm doing. But I know what He's doing. And He said He would send someone to help us. And it wasn't me that He sent. It was the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Are you doing that in your lives today? Are you incorporating Yeshua into your entire lifestyle, every second of your life? Do you walk, do you talk, and do you act like Him? If not, then you're not His disciple. It is time to get on board. The train is getting ready to leave the station. If you need help in doing that, I'll be glad to help you, and I have a whole bunch of people in here who will be very happy to help you do that. All you got to do is ask. Just say, I've been a little deficient. I need help. I do need help. I am asking you. I need help when I get out on that road. I do. I have a tough time. I can't overcome that by myself. I have to ask Yeshua to do it for me, but it just seems like I keep pulling it back. and pulling it back every time. And I hope you can identify with that, because we all have little situations in our lives that are like that, don't you think? Amen.